following World War I, we need to decide, how are we going to create a lasting peace? How are we going to make sure, work to ensure peace in the world? European powers did this about 100 years ago. Remember the Congress of Vienna, the Concert of Europe? You don't remember it, but you at least remember hearing the term, correct? The Congress of Vienna, the Concert of Europe, took place after Napoleon wreaked havoc all over Europe. Took place roughly like 1812, 1815, somewhere in the early 1800s it took place. About 100 years after World War I, the Allies are going to get together, and they're going to try to figure out, hey, we've got two goals. How do we keep peace in the world? And then how can maybe we work relations in Europe to benefit ourselves? So what we see, and after the war, the Allies decide to meet in Paris. Nice area. Anyone ever been to Paris? Not bad, is it? Not a bad spot to meet. Anyway, the Allies meet there, and they want to try to figure out, how do we keep and promote peace in Europe after World War I to prevent this from ever happening again? Kind of a minor issue, a minor problem, is that the United States was allowed to go, Britain was allowed to go, France was allowed to come, but no one in the Central Powers were allowed to show up, were allowed to come. No one in the Central Powers, no one from Germany, no one from Austria-Hungary was allowed to show up. That doesn't sound like it's going to be too good of an idea, does it? If Germany and Austria-Hungary are not there, how are you going to promote peace? Those are two of the largest countries in Europe, correct? But they're not allowed to show up. They're not allowed to come. And even with only the Allies showing up, the United States is going to have different perspectives than Great Britain and France. The United States, led by Woodrow Wilson, wants to model a peace agreement on his 14 points that we talked about. A lasting peace, some sort of organization that talks about having communication and dialogue versus throwing bombs and having our rifles pointed at one another. Talking about promoting a lasting peace. The United States really affected by the World War I? Sure, we had Lusitania, we had some soldiers die, but wasn't fought in their streets and in their cities, was it? No. Britain and France are like, hey, Woody. You think they call him Woody? They might have, I don't know. But Britain and France said, hey, Woody, that's cute that you have these ideas of self-determination and that you have these ideas of equality and all this stuff. But we were punished by World War I. Our soldiers fought, our soldiers bled, our soldiers died in the trenches. Our cities were bombed, our cities were destroyed, our people starved. We were harmed. What happens if you get harmed? What do people want to do? They want to sue, correct? If you do something against me, I'm going to sue you. They couldn't sue the Central Powers, but what they wanted to do is they wanted to punish the Central Powers, and they wanted to make themselves feel whole and feel strong again. They want, you know, Britain wanted to expand and empower their empire. When Britain's thinking about a negotiated peace, they're thinking, how can we expand our great British Empire and make it all the more stronger? France is more concerned with, hey, how can we prevent Germany from ever punishing us again or growing too strong, growing too powerful? It's happened too much in recent history. How can we limit Germany's power? Well, what we're going to see almost from the start are there going to be some major problems. Not only problems with Britain's perspectives, France's perspectives, the United States' perspectives on peace,
But we're going to see that during the war, the reason why Italy comes on the side of the Allies is due to a secret agreement. It's not made public. But what the Allies said is, hey, if you come and fight for us, we're going to give you a bunch of land from Austria-Hungary. We're going to make it part of Italy. All you have to do is come fight for us, and when we win, we'll take that land away from Austria-Hungary. Is that self-determination? What did I say self-determination was yesterday? Gage? Self-determination in terms of a nation.
The people rule the nation.
The people rule the nation. We get to elect our government. We get to have a territory set up by us. We don't have to worry about anyone else. Does having a secret agreement with Italy kind of violate self-determination? That's kind of an issue. That's a problem.
Here's the other issue.
Austria-Hungary is huge, correct? Austria-Hungary is huge. It's a big empire. Remember we talked about a bunch of different nationalities in there? In order to try to resolve all the issues of Austria-Hungary and trying to create separate states for everyone so everyone's happy, everyone has their own government, everyone has their own piece of land, there's no good way to do it. So what we're going to see is the peace process at the Paris Peace Conference was extremely messy. It was messy not only because people had their own interests in mind, but certain people were also excluded. In addition, this idea of self-determination was kind of undermined. So what I'd like you to do is tell me,
what were the major problems or issues that made peace difficult at the Paris Peace Conference? What were the major problems or issues that were present that made peace difficult, if not impossible, at the Paris Peace Conference?